All right, we are back. Thanks to Rick Payne with the Cannabis Real Estate Consultants for being, I guess, in our first segment. And now we have, from the Hemlock Society of San Diego, I believe the founder, Faye Gersh. Is that correct, Faye?
It's right. All 31 right. Years ago.
Wow. You could pull that mic closer if you'd like to. And then also you brought with us Dr. Bob Uslander, who is in charge of Integrated MD Care. And welcome. He's the medical director and the founder of that, is right?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks
wow.
for having me.
So, Faye, you've been in San Diego a while. I know you've had some media exposure yourself with former programs and things of that nature. Tell us a little bit about your background, born and raised, and et cetera.
Oh, my gosh, that background. How long do you have?
Well,
start at the beginning.
Reader's Digest version.
I'm from Philadelphia. And I finally migrated to San Diego after 3 years in Chicago, 3 winters in Chicago, let's put it that way.
One would be enough, but anyway.
So I've been here since 1978. So the Hemlock Society started in 1980, started by Derek Humphrey, a British journalist who helped his wife die. And he wrote a book about it called Gene's Way, and the letters and the money came from all over the world saying, how did you have the courage to do this? This was so good, and tell us how. And then he wrote several books, including Final Exit.
Mm-hmm.
So I became head of the National Hemlock Society in 1996, and I was there for 10 years until it merged with a smaller group and no longer exists as a national organization. But we started the Hemlock Society of San Diego here 31 years ago. And I've
been alive and well.
Alive and well. We have programs every month. They're open to the public, and they're pretty good.
So the main goal is what? Death with dignity, ultimately?
Tell people what their end-of-life choices are, consistent with their own values and beliefs. Mm-hmm. They can pick one. But there are so many now changes in the law that have helped people have a better death, and people really don't know about those. And so that our purpose is to be informative.
Yeah.
And what precipitated your interest in the subject matter?
An obscure legal case, well, not so obscure, legal case in 1983 with the ACLU head, I was on the board, about a young quadriplegic woman who wanted to die by not eating and drinking. And at 1983, you couldn't do that.
Right.
Now you can do that. It's the choice method of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But that called my attention to the problem that people wanted to die and couldn't.
She had no, her condition was what again? It was just paraplegic? Did she have any?
She had cystic fibrosis or something that caused her to be essentially paralyzed.
Well, that's terminal, cystic fibrosis.
Well, it wasn't. No, well, I guess that's not what she had because her condition was not terminal. That's
the really?
Problem. No. No. So
it'd be interesting. I don't know. I guess that'd be a tough call, Richard. If you became a paralyzed from the neck down tomorrow, that'd be interesting.
I know what I would do.
What would you do?
I wouldn't want to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I already know that.
That's easier said than done. So
no,
then
yeah,
you have to ask, what choices do you have to not be here?
Right.
And then, of course, there's family pressures and things like that. But, I think for most people, just if you were confined to a bed for the rest of your life, what kind of quality of life is that?
One of the things we do is show a Right to Die film series.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those movies do have to do with quadriplegics, like The Sea Inside. Mm-hmm. There's a marvelous Academy Award-winning movie made in Spain about a quadriplegic, an actual man, Ramon San Pedro, who wanted to die.
Yeah.
And he couldn't until finally the Right to Die Society of Spain helped him.
Yeah. I see there was a film, the Right to Die film series with Olympia Dukakis. We just interviewed Governor Mike Dukakis recently.
Oh, good.
That was last Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tell us about that series. Is that a
every other month, usually at the Mission Valley Library. The next one with Olympia Dukakis, the event, will be at Rancho Bernardo Library because we couldn't get the Mission Valley Library. But those are free, open to the public. We have a very good film and then a very good discussion afterwards because these are issues that pertain to different aspects of the right to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a simple thing, It's
yeah.
Sometimes it's couples, sometimes it's quadriplegics, sometimes it's people with AIDS.
Of course, Dr. Stephen, who's the brilliant guy who's confined
to Hawkins.
Yeah, I mean,
that's right.
I would hate to have him go. I mean, he's such a brilliant mind,
but
we should have that right. I don't know. How do the legal cases stack up against this?
Well, we've made tremendous progress in the last 31 years or since Hemlock started, which is more than that.
Mm-hmm.
We have the right to refuse medical treatment. We have the right to refuse food and fluids now. we have the right now to have physician aid in dying under the new, well, not new anymore, a year and a half ago, California passed the End of Life Option Act, mm-hmm. which enables you to get a physician to prescribe medication that will end your life peacefully.
Hmm.
We have the right to make a living will. It doesn't sound like a big right, but it was hard-fought right that we passed first in California in 1976.
Yeah, we hear about living wills and advance directives. They're related, but they're different, aren't they?
No, well, a living will is just that document that says this is what I want, this is what I don't want.
Okay, advance directive.
Not
specific.
So legally enforced. Advance directive also, then you add, this is my healthcare agent. This is the person I trust to make the decisions for me
right.
if I can't speak for myself.
Right.
But I know there's been great progress made, too. I mean, it used to be against the law, for example, to assist somebody in killing themselves.
It
correct?
Still is.
And it still is.
Unless you're a doctor and you use the
unless
End of Life
right.
Option Act.
Now,
right.
some states, is it Oregon or some states have, maybe Dr. Bob, and we should kind of get to Dr. Bob in a moment, too, anyway.
I'm just enjoying sitting here taking all this in. I'm learning.
But some states have legalized assisted suicide by physicians, right? How many of those?
So it's six, but I think Hawaii just passed it. So that would make it seven.
I think it's going through the Senate in Hawaii
yeah.
at this point.
Yeah.
Well, let's get Dr. Bob's take on this. Give us a little bit about your background, Dr. Bob
sure.
Uslander, and then we'll get your take on all
sounds
this.
Sounds good. So I actually struggled through 27 Chicago winters.
Oh my gosh!
Not all consecutively. I grew
you were
up.
A smart guy.
I grew up. I got smarter as I got older. So I grew up in Chicago, went to college in Illinois, and then I went to medical school at UCLA. I found Nirvana, right? Not necessarily LA, but Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
So and then I went back and did my training in emergency medicine. So I decided after looking at all the different options for specialties. Emergency medicine was the one that was going to be most exciting, give me the chance to really be a doctor and save lives and, you know, really get in the thick of things. And it was a great career. I practiced in Chicago. I practiced on Guam. My wife is from Guam. I was the first ER doctor on Guam. And then I was up in Northern California for many years. And halfway through my career as an ER doc, and remember, you know, as an ER doc, you're really designed to save lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you, sometimes you don't even think about the quality of the life that you're saving. They people come in and kind of you do what you do and you move them through. But halfway through my career in 2001, I had a good friend of mine die of melanoma. And that was the first time I was exposed to a different way of caring for people. And that was when we brought in hospice to provide support for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that planted a seed. Several years later, I ended up moving down to San Diego, and I transitioned into the palliative care and hospice world.
Mm-hmm.
And I started taking care of people in their homes and dealing with all their complex illnesses and issues and guiding them towards appropriate care. And many times that would be guiding them towards end-of-life care and comfort measures.
Yeah.
And while that was phenomenal and I realized that's my calling, I also recognized that there are so many gaps and holes that continued mm-hmm. to plague people and cause so much suffering and struggle.
Well, it's a challenging subject. I mean, we're all about quality of life. We should also be about quality of death, right? I mean, it sounds simple, but it's very,
it's an
unpleasant subject for a lot of people. But heck, we're all heading in the same general direction, you know.
It's the only thing that we all share at this point, right? There's two things that we share. We were born and we're going to die.
Right.
And we can't do much about the first one, but we can certainly do something about how the second one happens.
But for me, it's always been about the importance of the autonomy of the person. The person who wishes to die, their decision. Yeah. It's always bothered me that family member society wants to get involved in something that is really none of their business when you get to the very bottom line.
Well, have a good lawyer,
like to say
I guess.
A word. You two are terrific.
Well, it's just my opinion.
Oh my God.
There, it is about the autonomy, and when people are able to make informed decisions, that's certainly when things go best. But most people aren't able to make informed decisions mm-hmm. because they're not really being informed.
Yeah.
Right.
We're going to go to the break in a moment. If folks want to get on the websites, it's hemlocksocietysandiego.org or integratedmd.com for Dr. Bob. We'll be back with Faye Gersh and Dr. Bob Uslander right after this. All right, we're back with the award-winning It's Your Money on Your Life. And before we get to Richard, I just want to correct the website for Dr. Bob. It's integratedmdcare.com. And now this is a time where Richard likes to thank our sponsors.
So I will. Big thank you to our sponsors. Got a bunch of CPAs. Hey, Joe, did you know that Signature Analytics, Jason Kruger's great CFO company, has new offices? More about that later, but a great CFO service company for fast-growing companies that don't want to hire their own CFO. Signature Analytics, also more traditional CPAs. That would be Polito Epic CPAs in San Marcos, California. Don Epic, Paul Polito. Yeah, it's tax season. They'll do a great job. Also, if you want a, shall we say, more modern approach to tax preparation, paperless, app-based, very price efficient, Happy Tax. Check out happytax.com. Also, our great friend Joel Grushkin. Joel is really, really happy because the San Diego State Aztecs made the NCAA tournament. Huge college basketball fan, but Cost Segregation Initiatives, Joel's company, helps real estate owners improve their cash flow. Also, a recent guest, Paul Hines. Paul, of course, is the CEO of Hearthstone Private Wealth Management and also is the catalyst behind SeniorSafeAndSound.org, helping to prevent financial abuse of the elderly. Also, VFO Hub, that's V like Victor, F-O Hub, helping wealth advisors make heroes out of CPAs to the CPA's very best clients. And that's also a recent guest, Alex Sonkin, who heads up that company. Elite Lifestyle Management with Michelle St. Clair, helping those of us who have no time get things done, from simple things like travel arrangements to the more complex, like getting fishing licenses in Cuba. Elite Lifestyle Management can help you get back your most precious asset, which would be your time. Also, Prediction Works for those of you in the venture capital space. Yeah, it's great to be able to predict what the next great company is that you should invest in, but it's even more important to make sure you do not invest in something that is not going to make it, thus causing you to lose your investment. Prediction Works. In fact, Mark Long, their CEO, is going to be a guest on our show, I think, in another week or two. Also, for those of you who love our show so much that you missed dinner, now you're getting hungry, we've got some great food sponsors. More recent, Solana Beach Coffee Company, owned by my niece, Melissa, on Coast Highway in between Loma Santa Fe and Villa de la Valle in Solana Beach. Check out Solana Beach Coffee Company, as well as a couple of great sponsors who've even been with us for a lot longer than that. Right, Joe?
Absolutely. There's the Very Good Food Foundation, headed up by Michelle Chuck-Raley-Lirac, putting on great foodie events throughout the year. And I know they have a good one coming up soon. So get over to verygoodfoodfoundation.org. I think it's bgff.org.
BGFF.
Yeah. And also Lestat's Coffee Houses, the one in Normal Heights, the one in University Heights, the new one on University Avenue, all open 24/7, 365. And they have great food, great coffee, and great people watching, and always packed. And I know a lot of these sponsors have been working with Richard for many, many years with great success, correct?
Going on 30 years in some cases.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So get over to iymoney.com. There's a sponsor tab, a drop-down menu. You can learn about any or all of them that can help you out in your personal and business life and to great degrees. So there you go. Let's get back to Faye and Dr. Bob Uslander talking about the Hemlock Society. And I think we left off getting into advanced directives and living wills. And what else were we discussing?
I know we were discussing the autonomy of the decision.
Right.
And also, I think what many people don't know is the relatively new now, a year and a half old, End of Life Option Act. It does permit physician aid in dying for terminally ill, mentally competent people. And since most people don't know about that option, and they could take advantage of it if they wanted, it's something to talk about. And sometimes it's hard to find a doctor. And Dr. Bob is sometimes the doctor that we refer people to because he will help people get the medication. Mm-hmm. And see them through that end-of-life option.
Well, I know physicians are supposed to do no harm, but I've always been fascinated by what does the word harm mean versus what does the word help mean?
Can I share my perspective
Please.
On that?
Please. That's what I was hoping you would do.
Okay. So when we left off, I was sharing that I had been in this traditional world of palliative care and hospice after leaving my emergency medicine career, and I started a practice, integrated MD care, which is essentially we go into people's homes and we identify what the reality of their situation is, what's most important to them, what their goals are, what their resources are, who's on their team, what do they need to have the best possible quality of life. And I started this practice when we have a nurse and a nurse practitioner, and I have massage therapists and music therapists and just amazing, amazing people who are there to give people the best possible support, medical care, and other types of care. And as we started doing this practice, what we recognized was there were people who were not going to have a better quality of life no matter what. Mm-hmm. They were dying, and they couldn't die fast enough as far as they were concerned. The medical system had done whatever it could, with all our great technology and medications and procedures, there are people who are done with all of that. And unfortunately, our system in many cases doesn't recognize when it's time to stop. We just keep pushing.
Mm-hmm.
And people, people and patients and their families don't know when to say, I've had enough. They for various reasons, they often continue pushing until someone says, okay, well, there's nothing more we can do, so now it's time to go on hospice. And that sometimes can be the right option and provide the right support, but there are oftentimes missing pieces, large gaps, people struggle, and they suffer.
I think the last case that really brought this to national attention was that Terry Schiavo in Florida, obviously brain dead. She was 5 years being kept artificially alive, something like that, correct?
I mean, so that case is important, but it's not the case. It's not what we're – I mean, I don't want to cut you off,
no.
but what we're talking about is people who are making their own decisions, mm-hmm. who are competent, and they
right.
get to choose.
She didn't even
what
have that choice.
She didn't have that choice.
She was in a coma.
But the law gave her that choice because the law designated her husband, Michael, to be her power of attorney for health care. And then the family intervened.
Her parents got in the way. Then.
But every court upheld Michael's right to make the decision for her, and that's what finally happened.
Right. But, boy, what a battle. And it was just kind of...
Everyone suffered.
Yeah.
Everybody suffered, including her.
I mean, upon I think they had an autopsy, her brain was pretty much gone. And so when you're dead, and your brain, I mean... Your brain is dead. That's what the legal definition of brain death, or because they can keep you artificially going with pumps and things, right? And
correct. But death doesn't occur until your heart stops and your brain. The status of your brain is not really part of the equation when you're talking about life or death.
Yeah.
It certainly is when you're talking about quality of life or ability to truly live.
Right.
But so I started my practice in January of 2016, and in June of 2016, the End of Life Option Act passed in California.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a law that's modeled after the Death with Dignity law in Oregon, which has been in existence for 20 years now. Washington State has a similar law, which allows a person who's an adult resident of California who's mentally competent with a terminal illness to request from an attending physician a prescription for medication that, if they choose to take it, will end their life peacefully.
Mm,
so,
gotcha.
So it requires that the person make the request 15 days apart, at least 15 days apart. A second physician needs to evaluate the patient and concur that they have a terminal illness and are competent, and the patient fills out a written request. And once those things have been accomplished, the patient has the ability, the choice, if they want, to fill the prescription, get the medication, and they can take it or not. What it does is it gives them the control back that they have lost,
mm-hmm.
and it gives them an option to have an extremely peaceful, dignified death that is at the time and place of their choosing.
And this is their own individual decision, right?
Totally.
So,
it has to be their decision. Yeah. They have to be the one making it. They have to be able to actually ingest the medication.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm curious. It's a fairly new law. Are there any statistics on people who make that decision, who go through with it versus change their mind and don't go through with it?
I think the statistics show that about 2/3 of people who actually go through the process, mm-hmm. and get the medication take it.
Okay. Mm.
Some of the people who don't take the medication have lost the ability to. They're no longer competent. They die of other causes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can hear that this is a rather complex
procedure. And then I'm wondering if there are some doctors who refuse to give that information.
The vast majority of doctors are uncomfortable, mm-hmm. having the conversation. Most doctors won't participate because it is cumbersome. There is logistics, and as I've discovered, because I'm very comfortable guiding people down this path and being with them when they take the medication, because I truly believe that they deserve that right. It's their legal right. I believe that we all should be able to,
and of course,
to self-determine.
Yeah. And if you keep a patient going, I mean, you can keep billing the insurance companies, right? So there's something to be said for that. We'll be back with Faye Gershon, Dr. Bob Uslander about the Hemlock Society right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back with Dr. Bob Uslander, who is a consultant and collaborates with the Hemlock Society of San Diego. I want to clarify that. And Faye Gersh. You're a doctor also, Faye?
I am a psychologist. That's right.
That's right.
The Hemlock Society is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization.
Mm-hmm.
So Bob is a for-practice doctor. That's what he does. And so, mm-hmm. a little bit different.
Yeah. And your website, I'm going to give it again because it's very robust. It's hemlocksocietysandiego.org. And there is a lot here. You have events every month?
Every month.
And who puts those programs on? Is that who you do that?
Yeah, we do that.
I mean, wow. Cause
and they're always open. Well, not this coming one is not open to the public and not free, but all the others are. And yeah. That's our mission, is to educate the San Diego community about their end-of-life choices.
I see names. I know Dr. Mitch Tomita. I know him. he's with the rheumatologist, wasn't he, I believe? Or
family
practice. Yeah. But I've seen his name around. And Z-Dog MD, this doctor, Richard, I think I
he's sent a friend of mine,
You sent me something to look at from him. Very interesting fellow.
Yeah, let me hear it. So he's a friend of yours,
yeah.
Bob?
Yeah.
This guy's got the greatest online videos and interviews. And I see there was one, what's this, Eminem, Ain't the Way to Die. Oh, he did like a little music video.
It's very poignant. It's really poignant.
Like. He's actually showing up at a meeting we're having. Final Exit Network, which is another organization I'm in on the advisory board, is having a Western Hemisphere meeting in Las Vegas in 2 weeks.
Oh, and that's
where Ziggy Dogg is one of the speakers or singers or whatever
that's
he does.
Great.
Rappers.
He's phenomenal. This guy's an internal medicine doctor, and he does this on top of it. And he lives and works in Vegas.
Well, he was a hospitalist. His wife went to college with Tony Hsieh, who's the founder of Zappos.
Zappos.
So they brought Zubin into Las Vegas to help them create Turntable Health, which is a novel healthcare delivery model that he's been part of. So he's quite a guy.
Interesting.
So can I ask you about some history? Dr. Jack Kevorkian, who I guess is maybe one of the more controversial figures in this whole debate. Was he ever involved with Hemlock Society?
No, he wasn't.
Or what role did he truly play in this whole progression?
He is my hero. Not everybody's hero, but mine. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm doing a little play that I wrote about him on Sunday night called St. Peter versus Jack Kevorkian. The question the audience has is whether he goes to heaven or goes to hell.
Right.
And he has my vote. But he did not join. Well, actually, both of us were in a book called Who's Who in Hell, which I consider one of the great distinctions of my life.
Badge of honor.
Yeah. Exactly. But he did not join the Hemlock Society or anything else because he thought we were too slow. He didn't believe in that legislation has to be changed and blah, blah, blah. He believed this was a person's right, a doctor's responsibility to help people in agony die. And he thought we were just wasting our time.
Hmm. Interesting.
But I was there at his trial. We had lunch together for the last week of his, not life, but before he was sentenced to 8 to 10 years
that
in prison.
That was horrible.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
That was horrible. I mean, they've got guys on Wall Street skating, and you know, someone like him, I don't think you put it.
The
doctor.
Irony of it is that was, 10 years ago now, and in Canada, doctors can do legally what he did then, and that is give a lethal injection to somebody that can't swallow.
Yeah. I guess doing it on 60 Minutes might not have been.
No,
in retrospect, maybe
I disagree.
Really?
I think it was brilliant.
Really?
Yes, it was the first time that 60 million people could see how people actually die. With euthanasia.
Yeah.
Well, I think the challenge is so abstract for so many people. That's why it's so easy to say, well, no, nobody should be allowed to die because we were taught that life is precious. But
Quality of life is precious.
But
tell us about the play Sunday night, because this airs Saturday, so this would be the following night.
Well, it's a small group to my play reading group, I guess.
Oh, it's a play reading. Okay.
Yeah, but I've done it. It's been done, performed actually around the country. People dress like angels. They have
and where will it
little
be?
Ballot. Well, it's.
Or is it a private thing? Or?
It's a private thing,
okay.
But I will do it.
Really?
The drop of a hat. It's fun to do, and it's amusing, and it's entertaining, and it's informative.
And what's the name of it? Dr. Kevorkian?
St. Peter versus Saint Peter Jack versus, Kevorkian. Yeah. I've Saint done Peter a little gender bending, so both main characters are women.
Hey, they were doing that back in Caesar's times, too, so, and Shakespeare's. I think Shakespeare, they always had men playing women, and then Milton Berle
playing men.
Yeah. But in any case, or women playing men, I'm sorry. In any case, well, your meetings are the third Sunday of odd-numbered months, it looks your general meeting.
Actually, that's right. The informative meeting where there's a speaker or a panel or something is the odd months third Sunday.
And then
the movies are the third Sunday of the even months.
So if you go to HemlockSocietySanDiego.org, it's all there. I'm really impressed with the programs you put on here. These are very varied and interesting, and I think everyone should be should be interested in this subject.
So do your members tend to be older, or do you have some younger members?
We have some younger members, and really it's important for younger members to join because, first of all, they could die too. Mm-hmm. Even Tom Yauch, who Jack Kevorkian went to jail for, was 57
right,
years old.
Right, he wasn't that old. Right.
No, and that was ALS. But also they have parents, and the question of what to do with parents who want to die or want to live under certain circumstances or don't have an advance directive is really a serious question. Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful illustrated book called Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant? And it's the problem. You mm-hmm. can't talk to your parents. Parents can't talk to their kids. Oh, no, we can't talk about that.
Well, I think at some point we're all going to have to talk about it because it's all going to affect us losing a loved one, you know, whether it's a parent or a sibling or peer or whomever. I know on CBS Sunday Morning about, and I think I brought it to Dell's attention, there was some young gal putting on seminars or an organization about this subject and death and dying. Do you recall seeing that at all? Or I'm trying.
There's a lot of attention drawn right now to this topic. People want they want to know that their choices will be honored, and there's still a lot of discomfort about talking about the actual time around death.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a growing awareness, and there's some momentum, which is why we're coming out and speaking and trying to capture that momentum.
I found that it's from last October. It's a mortician, Caitlin Doughty.
Oh, she's coming to this meeting in Las Vegas too.
Really?
Oh, I love her.
Yeah.
She came to one of our meetings.
So she's a young person,
yeah.
And a lot of people attending her mm-hmm. organizational
yeah.
meetings are.
We're having
young.
Caitlin and Zubin. Dog.
What is really?
Z-Dog.
Man, I ought to go to that. I ought to. When is the date on that?
It starts March 9th or so. I can't remember now. I mean, I'm
April or March?
Speaking, but
it must be
two
April.
Weeks.
A couple of weeks. Okay. And
soon.
And what's the name of the conference again? It's
Final Exit Network.
Final Exit Network.
Yeah, you
Network.
Can just go to their website and find out all about it and register for it and everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Very yeah. good to know that. So that's yeah. the one I was thinking of, and that was last October on CBS Sunday Morning.
Oh, she's a wonderful.
She's a licensed mortician.
Yes.
I didn't realize
yes.
that, but... yeah, fascinating stuff. So,
and we also have death cafes. I have to give a plug to death cafes. They're not ours, but it's another thing that's going on all over the world is death cafes, death over dinner, death over cocktails, where people come and talk about whatever issues they mm-hmm. have about dying.
Wow, and I'm yeah. sure you get all the jokes. You know, I'm dying to be here, right?
We just started a meetup group.
We're
trying to educate physicians. We're trying to get physicians to engage more in this. But we started a meetup group for the community. And it's reimagining end-of-life care.
Do physicians have the reluctance because they always they feel like they lost when they lose a patient because they're so invested in curing a patient or helping them survive?
There are so many reasons why physicians are not having these conversations. Part of it is the discomfort that's not taught in medical school. There's no training around talking about end-of-life. They don't have time.
I mean, I would hope every hospital would put on these workshops.
They're not.
Well, we'll do them. We will do it in every hospital. Every hospital.
There's also no billing code. There's also no billing code for it.
Well, actually, there is now.
There is now.
You can get $72 for having this conversation.
I know, $72 for having a conversation.
But you're supposed to try to fit it into 15 or 20 minutes. So it can't happen.
Is there a monetary incentive for keeping patients alive versus?
Sure.
Okay.
Of course. Hospice agencies get paid by the day.
Right. Nursing homes.
Nursing homes get paid. Assisted living facilities.
Medication.
Maybe money is a factor, Richard. It's your money and your life.
Joe, money is always a factor.
It's your money and your life and your death.
We're talking about the medical profession and insurance companies in the same breath.
Money I just want to mention that in Canada, they have the same length of time, a year mm-hmm. and a half now, they've had an act permitting physician aid in dying mm-hmm. in a much more liberal way than we do. For example, they provide lethal injections. Mm. And those doctors are paid by the state.
Mm-hmm.
And the medication is paid for by the mm-hmm. state.
Gotcha. And we have to wrap it right there. Dr. Fagersch, Dr. Bob Uslander, Helmuck Society of San Diego, and Dr. Bob is Integrated MD Care, right?
IntegratedMDCare.com.
Richard Musso, great seeing you this week, and great seeing you, Justin Harder, board operating, making a sound terrific. Thanks to Craig Blanke and Dave Sniff here at KFMB for all their help. All these podcasts are commercial-free on iymoney.com. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.